Welcome to the Central Live Podcast with Pastor Jim Caldwell. At Central Baptist Church in Phenix City, Alabama, it's our mission to make disciples who make disciples. Let's join Pastor Jim as he shares today's message.
So, that song we just sang, it talks about these tongues of fire. We're going to talk about that passage today, where they got that from. So, we're in the book of Acts. I want to ask you a question before we get started. I just want you to think about it. Why does the church today not look like the church in Acts? And I want you to think about that as we continue to go through this series of messages called Principles of Being the Church. This is principle number three we're going through. Principle number three. Principles of Being the Church. And so why is it not like that? So I want you to think about that. I want you to consider that. So we're supposed to be the church. So being the church yesterday meant we were out walking through our neighborhood, praying for people and handing out door hangers saying that we prayed for them. Being Jesus can look like a lot of different things in a lot of different ways. Wherever you're at, you can be him, right? You can be the church. But God wants us to follow him and follow him fully. And I probably said this at least 4,000 times since I've been here. God wants our heart. He wants the motivation of what we do to be pure, to be because we love him. And that's what he desires. That's what he wants for us. So as we're looking in the book of Acts, the disciples, they had been waiting in Jerusalem. They were told to wait and wait on this Holy Spirit to come. And so they've been waiting. They were waiting for this power that Jesus had talked about to be able to accomplish the mission that Jesus set before them. I tell you what, the waiting must have seemed like forever. Can you imagine Jesus telling you to wait and he's gone? And you're like, okay, day one. All right, well, tomorrow, day two, well, 50 days, okay, 50 days go by, and then this happens. Here's what I want you to know. Waiting on the Lord is always worth the wait. Always. It's always worth the wait. Whatever you're waiting on is worth the wait. To wait on him, to let him determine what's going on, to let him do what he needs to do. I want you to turn in your Bibles over to Acts chapter 2. I will tell you a lot of scripture today, okay? So hang in there with me. If you fall asleep, I probably will call you out, okay? I don't think you will, but, I see a couple of you kind of nodding off already. All right, I want you to stay in for this because I want to tell you at the end, I promise you, this is good stuff, okay? This is worth it. This is worth it. Hang in there with me. So Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were together in one place. Remember, the disciples, they were waiting. They had been told to wait, and so they were waiting. They were all together in one place, verse 2, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. The day of Pentecost was the same as the Feast of Weeks in the Old Testament. And I just want you to put yourself there, okay? You're in this place and you hear something that sounds like a violent rushing wind, but it didn't say anything about there being wind. It just said it's the sound. It's this crazy rushing sound going on. And then you see tongues of fire that are going over the believers' heads. Pretty crazy stuff, right? Pretty crazy. I mean, it's not something you see every day. Have any of y'all ever seen tongues of fire on anyone? Okay, I haven't either. Tongues of fire. This was a miracle, right? This was something that God was doing to show himself. God's presence was in this place. Look at verse 4 with me. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. Okay, so now I want you to think about this. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine you had a bunch of people from Germany, a bunch of people from France, from Korea, that all spoke different languages, didn't speak English, and all of a sudden, as you're speaking in English, they were hearing in their language. That's what was going on. Can you imagine that? I'm speaking in good Southern English, and they're hearing in their own native tongue. That's what's going on here. It was a miracle. They had people from all over that was doing this. So it says that the crowd came together in verse 6. Now, this may have been the 120 disciples that were talked about in chapter 1, that we saw in chapter 1. But the people were bewildered. I think a better term for that today is they were freaked out. Think about it. Put yourself in their place. You're listening in English, and somebody who's talking in another dialect you hear in English. And it's all just praising God. It's all just lifting up the Lord and showing Him mighty and powerful through it. Look on at verse 7. It says, they were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongues speaking the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were saying, they're full of sweet wine. They must be drunk. See, all these people from all over the known world were hearing in their native tongue. They knew that the disciples, these were unlearned disciples. They were Galileans. They didn't speak their language, and they knew it. And, of course, some of the people thought they were drunk, but they weren't drunk. This was something that God was doing to reveal himself, to show the Holy Spirit. This is the start of the Holy Spirit's involvement in every believer's life, and he's come into every single Christian since that day. The Holy Spirit comes inside us to live. Look at verse 14 with me. It says, but Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through Joel the prophet. Of course, here's Peter. Remember Peter? Bold, brash Peter, the one who, you know, said he would die for Jesus and then denied him three times. The guy who came back humbly in John chapter 21. Jesus, they got together. Their relationship was restored. You remember that? Peter, he stands up. He's the spokesperson. It's not surprising after all that Peter had been through. Not surprising at all. And so Peter told the people, hey, these people are not drunk. You know, the Holy Spirit led Peter exactly what to say. You know, he remembered all these things that Jesus had already told him. He remembered all these things. Look at verse 17. This is spoken from the prophet Joel. It's a quote from the Old Testament. It says, and it shall be in the last day, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind. All your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Even on my bondslaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. It's a quote straight out of it. What Peter was saying is, hey, everybody, See that prophecy? That's being fulfilled today. That's what's happening today. Talk about being led by the Holy Spirit to be able to go back and say, this scripture is fulfilled today. You remember Jesus said that one time. Jesus said, in your hearing, this prophecy is fulfilled today. Well, that's exactly what Peter was saying. This prophecy was being fulfilled at that very moment. Must have been pretty crazy for these people going, okay, Peter is this unlearned guy. They know him. They know all his warts. They know he had ups and downs with Jesus. They know all this. And yet he's saying, okay, this is what God said, and here it is. I'm laying it out for you. This is what's going on today. Look on in verse 22. It says, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. See, Peter was saying, hey, what looked like defeat, it's where we get the victory. Can you praise God for that victory that's through Christ? Isn't that awesome? Peter testified about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead that showed God's victory over the grave. And because of that victory over the grave, we have victory over the grave. You glad to be a part of that? Man, I am. Death, it doesn't hold us back. It's not the end. Man, there's a TV show I watch sometimes. I'm not even going to say what it is, but there's a guy on it who he always says, there's nothing. Once you hit the grave, there's nothing. And I'm like, man, I have such a great hope. And this hope isn't I hope I have ice cream later today. This hope is assurance. It is for sure. It is, you can count on it with your life that it's going to happen. He has victory over the grave. Look at verse 25. It says, for David said of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of gladness within your presence. Again, Peter is quoting Psalm 16. See, what Peter's saying is, in these verses, is, or what David was actually saying in these verses, is that God has a plan for life. He has a plan for us. He has a plan for each one of us. And he's going to deliver. He's the one who delivers the plan. All we have to do is follow the plan. Look on at verse 29. It says, brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up, to which we are all witnesses. See, basically Peter's telling them, David's dead, Jesus is alive. You know, you don't put your hope in David, put your hope in Jesus, because he's alive. And the resurrection of Jesus was real. In fact, it was so real that these 11 disciples, history says that all of them died a gruesome death, except for John. Who basically died of old age on the Isle of Patmos. But they believed this resurrection so fully and so much that they were willing to die for it. You willing to die for it? If somebody comes up to you today and puts a gun to your head and says, Jesus is not the Lord, he's not king, would you do it? I'll let you live, I'll let you live if you do it. If you'll denounce Jesus, I'll do it. See, I think we have to have that question answered in our mind before we end up in a situation like that. I don't want to scare anybody, but I'm going to tell you, our country is going to a place where one day that could happen. That could be for real. See, that's happening right now in lots of other countries, and we don't hear about it all the time, and we don't know about it all the time. But there's people every day dying for Jesus Christ all over this world because they have faith in Him. And Jesus expects the same out of all His disciples, that we've got to be willing. Are you willing? Because what He did for us is worth it. Because He does have victory over the grave. We don't have to worry about when we die. When we die, it's going to be better. It's going to be better than it is now. Look in verse 33 with me. It says, "Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but He Himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." You notice the "you." It didn't say this Jesus who was crucified, did it? This Jesus who you crucified. See, these people were all good Jews. It was Jewish people that were screaming, "Crucify Him. Crucify Him." I love the terms that Dr. Luke says or said here by Peter. It says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know." That means let all the Jewish people know that God has made Him both Lord and Christ. Lord is the word kurios, and it means the King over everything. It means He's over all. He has authority over everything. Over everything living, dead, everything in the universe. He has the authority over it all. He's the Lord. But He's also the Christ. And the Christ is the Jewish Messiah that they have been waiting on for a couple of thousand years, for thousands of years. They have been waiting on this Messiah. And most people didn't even recognize Him when He came because He wasn't the Messiah that they thought He was going to be. They were looking for somebody to come and rule and reign right that minute. And that wasn't who He was. Peter left no doubt in the hearers' minds who Jesus was. When he said Lord and Christ, they knew what He was talking about. They knew this is the promised one. This is what you're claiming. He is the Jewish Messiah. Look at verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart." You ever been convicted of sin, of things in your life that are going on, been convicted? You ever felt like you were pierced to the heart? That's what this is talking about. They were pierced to the heart. They were convicted. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself." See, these people realized, man, when we crucified Jesus, we messed up. We made a mistake. We were on the wrong side of this thing. We need to be on the right side of this thing. And so it says, repent. Repentance is such an important concept, y'all. It's something that you do once for salvation, but repentance is something that's going on, hopefully, in your life all the time. Repentance means that when God shows you something, the Holy Spirit shows you something in your life that's not in line with what God's best, and that's called sin. And when you sin and He shows you that, you're to repent. That means you're to turn from the sin and turn to Jesus. It's turning away from whatever's going on. True repentance, though, isn't this, doesn't look like this, okay? All right. God shows you at your sin. You turn away and you turn to Jesus, and then you turn right back to Him. That's not real repentance, y'all. Repentance happens when you turn and you're trusting Jesus for the power to overcome whatever's going on in your life, whatever He's shown you, whatever He is pointing out to you, because that's one of the Holy Spirit's job is to show you when you're wrong, when you're in the wrong, to convict you of sin, to show you when you need to repent, when you need to turn. So it says, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Do y'all remember there was some baptizing going on before this? Anybody remember who was baptizing? John the Baptist. Y'all remember that? John the Baptist was baptizing. He was baptizing people in a baptism of repentance. They were turning from their sin, but they had no idea about Jesus. They had no idea about what, they knew He was coming, but they didn't know what He was going to do. This is what we call believer's baptism. See, they repent, they turn from their sin, turn to Jesus, and then they're baptized. That's what scriptural baptism is. That's why we don't baptize kids, little kids, when they're born. Because baptism is meant to be a believer, someone who has trusted Christ, who the Holy Spirit has come inside to live. Baptism is just a symbol of what's happened in your heart. So we need to be baptized after salvation every time. It's the example all the way through the book of Acts. And again, I've told you this, Acts is like the history book of the early church. Every time you see someone that's receiving Jesus, that's getting saved, as we call it, anytime you see that, it's afterward they get baptized. Salvation, then baptized. Every time, repent and identify with Jesus. So I was talking to somebody recently, okay? If it's you, just act like it's not. No, I'm kidding. You're not in here. I was talking to somebody recently that had asked Jesus into their heart, okay? And what had happened was they were really doubting and struggling with salvation and different things. And I asked them a question. I said, do you know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you? Because as you see in this passage, what happens? Repent, be baptized, you're repenting, you're receiving this forgiveness from Jesus, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? If you have Jesus, if you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. But when I asked them if they knew that they had the Holy Spirit living in them, they said, no, I have no idea. I'm not sure. And you know, there was a place in the book of Acts, Paul ran into some believers that didn't know they had the Holy Spirit, or didn't know about the Holy Spirit. Acts 19:2, I'm going to put it up for you. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we've not even heard whether there's a Holy Spirit or not. See, these people didn't even know about the Holy Spirit. Most people who come to church, they know about the Holy Spirit. You know about the Holy Spirit for sure, right? But let me ask you a question. Do you know that you have Him living inside of you? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you? See, as followers of Christ, the Holy Spirit is a promise. He's the one who seals our salvation. He's a promise. We get Him. It's one of the great things that we get when we get saved. Is we get the Holy Spirit. We get Him. If you've never been led by the Holy Spirit, you don't know Jesus. You don't have a relationship with God. I don't know how to put it any clearer. If you've never been led by the Spirit, you get the Spirit when you're saved. That means you're not saved. If you've never been led by the Holy Spirit of God. See, one of the joys of the Christian life is knowing that you're being led by the Holy Spirit. You're being led by Him. You don't have to live life on your own anymore. You don't have to try to make church work. You don't have to do all this. All you have to do is trust the Holy Spirit and let Him live through you. I want to show you a little illustration here. Put up that first slide. Oh, man, that was good. All right. You have the Holy Spirit, okay? And then I want you to look. You have your spirit, okay? Everybody, every person, when you're born, you have a spirit, okay? Now, I will tell you, your spirit is dead. You have a dead spirit. You're not alive to God at that point. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, put up the next slide, you are one spirit with Him, okay? 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with Him. You can't undo that. And it has implications in your life. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You're not the same anymore. You are one spirit with Him. What in the world does that mean? You're one spirit with Him. You come together as one. Our spirit is knit together with His spirit. Listen, you can't stay the same when that change has occurred. You can't stay the way you were. You can't be who you used to be. When that Holy Spirit comes into your life and becomes one with your spirit, you are changed forever. Changed forever. So how can you know that you have the Holy Spirit? How can you know that you know that you know? Well, Romans 8:16 makes it so simple. He says the Spirit, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. What a simple verse. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, He testifies. What does testify mean? I want you to think about a trial. If you go to a trial, you go to a courtroom, and you have a witness comes up on the stand. All this witness is supposed to do is tell what happened to him, right? That's what a witness is supposed to do. Tell exactly what happened. Well, that's what the Spirit does in our hearts, in our lives. The Spirit testifies with our spirit. See, we're one spirit. Remember that? We're one spirit with Him. The Spirit testifies. That means the Holy Spirit of God shares with your spirit, witnesses to your spirit. You're a child of God. You're being led by me. You can know you have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to walk around wondering if you have the Holy Spirit anymore. He's going to witness to you that you're God's child. The third principle I want to share with you is this. The Holy Spirit is actively at work in the life of every believer, and we can know it. We've got to let Him have control. We've got to let Him have control. So we all have to answer the question that I put up earlier. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you? If so, it's time to give Him full control. Are there areas of your life you need to give to the control of the Holy Spirit today? Because we're coming to a time of response, and I'm going to ask the band to come up. The altar's open if you want to come pray. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you? Hey, today, if you're not sure, man, today's the day to nail it down, to give your life over to Christ. If you've never come into a relationship with God through Jesus, I'd love to introduce you to Him. I'll be right down front after this prayer. Maybe this morning you just got some things you need to lay down. There's some things you've been holding on to. It's time to repent. It's time to lay them down. The altar will be open this morning if you'd like to pray. Maybe you want to join this church. Whatever God's doing in your heart, I encourage you to come forward. Let Him do the work that He desires to do. I'm going to ask everyone to stand, and I'm going to pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, thank you for being the triune God that we serve and worship. Thank you for that Holy Spirit that He, we become one spirit with Him. Lord, through the miracle of salvation. Lord, I pray this morning, if there's anybody here who doesn't know that they have the Holy Spirit, God, let today be the day that they come in faith and repentance to you and trust in you. Lord, do what you desire to do today. We're trusting you, believe in you. Lord, thank you for all you're going to do in this place. For we pray it in Christ's name.
Thank you for listening to this Central Live podcast. If you'd like more information, visit our website at centrallive.org.